Good evening. It's good to be able to come together to worship this evening. And in our scripture reading there on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. And of course, in our children's Bible classes from time to time, we teach the children that song about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And that's not just simply a children's song, but a very important lesson for all of us that in unstable times, we can be stable when we build our lives on the Word of God. And when I think about instability, I think about the hurricane that is passing through the Northeast at this very moment and the destruction and the destructive force of that hurricane and how that it shakes up not only natural features, but even individuals' lives. And they may be going home to homes that have been washed away or destroyed in some kind of way, and it turns our life upside down. How is it that we make it through those kinds of times with regard to natural disasters? And not even natural disasters like hurricanes, and of course we saw the devastation of Katrina and the earthquake in Japan, and people have to make it through those difficult times in their life when things are turned upside down. I think also about other kinds of instability that is caused by man, not by natural disaster, but by man, the wars and terrorism and other kinds of problems that men bring upon themselves. How do we make it through those difficult days? Well, Jesus said that when our house is built on the rock of God's Word, when those storms beat against the house, it will not fall. And certainly the main lesson there is to build our lives on the Word of God, but also the lesson there that we will have storms in life. We will have things that pound against our marriage and our home and our family and our life and our Christianity. And the devil will try to send those types of violent storms against us, and we have to weather that. We have to be stable in that. We have to be tied down. We have to be rooted and grounded. We have to be firmly planted during those times, or that very time will cause us to shake our faith and lose our faith and be lost. So I want to talk this evening about a statement that we find in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. If you'll turn with me there, we actually want to read the whole chapter of Isaiah 33. And introduce ourselves to some material here in the Old Testament that I believe will be helpful for today. And look at Isaiah's statement there in verse 6 in particular, where he talks about stability in your times. I want to talk about how that we can be stable in an unstable world. How that we can be firm when the foundation is shaken in life. And so Isaiah gives us a statement from a time in Israel's history where they were going through very difficult times. If you notice in Isaiah chapter 33, beginning in verse 1, you'll notice the word woe. Woe to thee that destroyest. This chapter, chapter 33, is in a section of six woes in the book of Isaiah. You back up to chapter 31, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. Chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children that say to the Lord. You keep going back to verse 29, woe Ariel, the city where David is encamped. Verse chapter 28, woe to the crown of the pride of the drunkards of Ephraim. These are woes upon God's people in particular, and anyone who does not live according to God's Word. They're going to be judged. And in chapter 33, there are some things that are said about Assyria. These are not God's people, a foreign nation of Assyria, but woe to thee that destroyest. The particular time is around 701 B.C. And the kingdom of Israel and Judah has faced perilous times, especially from an assault from the foreign nation of Assyria. They have been advancing from the north for some time. And Assyria has been destroying God's people, and now they themselves are going to be destroyed. Around 722 B.C., the king of Assyria, Shalmaneser, came down into Israel and conquered the capital city of Samaria and laid it flat. He took the northern kingdom of Israel off into what we call the Assyrian captivity. About 20 years later, in 701 B.C., There's a new king on the throne in Assyria. His name is Sennacherib. He marches down into Judah at this time, like his predecessor, but he goes even farther south, all the way into the southern kingdom of Judah. And he conquers 40 cities of the area of Judah. And he actually documents that in the palace there at Nineveh. And in the British Museum, there's an entire wing dedicated to just Assyrian history. And those plaques are put on the wall. And you can see in a pictorial fashion Sennacherib's destruction of the various cities of Judah and his coming up against the city of Jerusalem itself. Chapter 33 of Isaiah takes place during this time of 701 BC when Sennacherib has encamped around the cities of Judah and particular around the city of Jerusalem. And you can read about this in 2 Kings 18 and 19. You may remember the story there about how that the Assyrian army is captured around, is encompassed around and has captured Jerusalem. And Hezekiah prays to God for help. And the Lord sends an angel and 185,000 soldiers, 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers are killed that night. And Sennacherib takes his army and goes home. This is too much of a defeat, and he leaves. And so the point is that Judah and Jerusalem in particular are in very perilous times. You imagine being encompassed about your city as being surrounded by a foreign nation. And you have heard that other cities around you have already been destroyed. This is a very difficult time and a very troubled time, a perilous time for Jerusalem and the people there. That's the setting of this chapter. And what Isaiah is going to say, and he's speaking to Hezekiah, and he's speaking to God's people, that yes, you are in perilous times. Number one, those people that are destroying you, they one day will be destroyed. Verse 1, that's speaking of the Assyrians. But you need to be stable. You're in a period of time that is very shaky. And we're going to read this chapter, and we're going to see some of Isaiah's descriptions of the perilous times. But you have to keep your feet on the ground and firmly planted in trust with God. Read with me in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 1. Woe to thee that destroyest. This is speaking of Assyria. And thou wast not destroyed, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou hast ceased to destroy, thou shalt be destroyed, and when you have made an end of dealing treacherously, thou shalt deal treacherously with thee. One day, Assyria would fall to Babylon. And Assyria had spent their time marching into foreign countries and conquering them, including Israel and Judah, almost took Jerusalem. And if it weren't for that miraculous killing of the 185,000, they would have taken, no doubt, Jerusalem. But after spending their time doing that, Babylon would march into their country and take them. But look at verse 2. O Jehovah, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Isaiah now turns his attention to Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem to wait on the Lord. This is not in the sense of waiting on God because he's running late. Sometimes you'll have to wait on somebody. They're running late. Maybe because of laziness or they're not punctual or something happened and something has held them up. This is the wait in the sense of patience. Be steadfast and patient and trust in the Lord, and He will take care of things in His own time frame. So stability is already being focused on putting your lives in the hands of God. So we have waited for thee. Be thou our arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. Underscore that in your Bible and think about the Assyrian army that surrounds your city. And you can look over the wall and you can see the Assyrian army there. It is no doubt a time of trouble. And in besieging the city, there are people that are hungry on the inside. And there are people that are wondering on the inside, are we going to get out of this alive? It is definitely a time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the peoples are fled, verse 3. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations are scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered as the caterpillar gathereth as locusts. Leap shall men leap upon it. This is jumping back now to the Assyrian. who they themselves would be taken spoil of. You remember, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 37, Isaiah chapter 36 and 37, if you'll just turn over there with me for just a moment briefly. This is the discussion of Sennacherib, as I mentioned earlier, how he invaded Judah, the different cities of Judah. And Rabshakeh, the captain of the army in Isaiah chapter 36, do you remember his taunt? Do you remember the story? We won't go back and look at all of that. But he's basically yelling over the wall, as it were, don't put your trust in God. And Isaiah is saying, put your trust in God. This is the only way you're going to remain stable in this troubled time. But what I wanted to look at is at the end of Isaiah chapter 37, look at verse 33. Isaiah 37, 33. This is where Sennacherib's army is slain, and then he himself is slain. So the prophecy of Isaiah 33 comes true. Isaiah 37, 33. Therefore, thus says Jehovah concerning the king of Israel, he shall not come unto this city, nor shoot an arrow there, neither shall he come up before it with shield, nor cast a mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same way shall he return, and he shall not come unto this city, saith Jehovah. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, for my servant David's sake. And the angel of Jehovah went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Andromelech and Shalrezer, his son, smote him with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Ararat, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. So Isaiah 33:1, woe to thee that destroyest, that dealt treacherously. When thou hast ceased to destroy, thou shalt be destroyed. And so as the Assyrian army is destroyed, and Sennacherib himself is slain. One of the things that I wanted to see last year when I went to the British Museum was what's called Sennacherib's prism. It's about 18 inches tall, and on each side they carve the annals of the history, and he describes on Sennacherib's prism, he describes the going in and taking various cities, and he has pinned there, I had Hezekiah shut up like a bird in a cage. Well, he had Hezekiah shut up like a bird in a cage, but God was in control, and he sends that angel out through the army, and they're killed. And as we read in Isaiah 33, by the way you came, that's the way you're going to go back. And he does. And when he goes back, he's killed. And so God is in control. Not Isaiah 33, but Isaiah 37. And so Sennacherib goes home a defeated king. What's interesting is when he gets back and he records that on his annals, he said, I had Hezekiah shut up like a bird in a cage. But you know what he didn't record? He didn't record the defeat of the 185,000 slain. He chose to leave that one out. That wouldn't be politically correct to talk about that. And kings typically did that. This is a very difficult time. And so back with me to Isaiah 33. What are God's people supposed to do? Verse 5 now. Jehovah is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with justice and righteousness. And there shall be stability in thy times. You underscore, and that's the lesson for this evening. They are surrounded by trouble, but then Isaiah comes and says, there will be stability in your times. Well, how will that be achieved? Abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, the fear of Jehovah is thy treasure. And so we're going to see in this evening's lesson then that Isaiah was sent by God to tell the people to trust in God for their strength and stability. The army of Assyria is on the other side of the wall, and they're taunting God's people. They're saying, don't trust in God. Surrender to us. Don't trust in God. And Isaiah is saying, continue to trust in God. That's where your stability will be found. I want to explore and examine this statement of Isaiah this evening then for our admonition today. I believe we have troubled times around us. And I believe that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I want us all here this evening to understand that the way we're going to weather that, the way we're going to get through that, in this nation, or you think about brethren in other parts of the world that live in very difficult times, how are they going to get through that? The same way these people got through it, verse 5 and 6, by putting their trust in the Lord. That's how we're going to be stable in unstable times. But let's keep reading in verse 7 before we look at some matters with regard to our lesson this evening. I want to finish out the chapter. Verse 7 now. Behold, their valiant ones cry. Isaiah is going back and forth between Assyria and God's people. Now he's back to God's people in and around Judah to describe the terrible times that they're living in. Behold, their valiant ones cry out. The ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. That's because Assyria has come into their nation, not just now, but 20 years earlier, and they took away Israel, the capital of Samaria. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceases. The enemy hath broken the covenant. He hath despised the cities. He regardeth not man. Israel comes in. Assyria comes in. Assyria was a very violent enemy. They would come in and impale people, literally impale them on sticks and parade them, a form of crucifixion, parade them in front of others to show. And again, that's on those walls that we have dug up. And you can see individuals impaled. They were very violent. They regardeth not man. The land moaneth and languisheth. Lebanon is confounded. And wherewith away? Sharon is like a desert, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Now will I arise, saith Jehovah, nor will I lift up myself. Now will I be exalted. You shall conceive chaff, you shall bring forth stubble, your breath is as fire that shall devour you. And the peoples shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut down that are burned in the fire. Probably Isaiah is going back now to Assyria. Verse 12, the peoples, the foreign nations, once they come in and do their devastation, they themselves will be devastated. Look at verse 13. Hear, ye that are afar off, what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling hath seized the godless ones. We're in a very tumultuous and perilous time here. Even many among God's people are not living right. They're not taking care of the widow and the orphan, and there is injustice in the courts, and the prophets are preaching false doctrine. The priests are not upholding the law. The judges are judging for bribes. It's a very difficult time. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with the everlasting burning? He that walketh righteously, that's the answer. We're going to be stable in these unstable times when we live right and keep our family right on God's word. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despiseth the gain of oppressions. The judges in Israel, the prophets, the priests, the kings, the judges, they were oppressing people. They were unrighteous. They were immoral. And we're not going to stay with that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood. There were people who needed help, murder and violence, and nobody would go to their aid. They would shut their ears and not listen to those who were being oppressed, and shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Here's a picture of stability. Verse 17, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth far. In other words, beyond these dark days of Sennacherib coming in with his armies, beyond these dark days, if we will put our trust in God, there will be a time where we will see God as a king in his beauty. Thy heart shall muse on the terror. Where is he that counted? Where is he that weighed the tribute? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see the fierce people, a people of a deep speech that thou canst not comprehend, of a strange tongue that thou cannot understand. One day these foreigners, these Assyrians, will be gone. Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities, talking about the religious feasts. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation. Now coming back to the idea of stability. A quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be removed. There's your stability. The stakes whereof shall never be plucked up. There's going to come a time, if we will trust in the Lord, where we will get our stability back. But we've got to weather that storm. Neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. Verse 21, but there Jehovah will be with us in majesty, a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall go no galley with oars, neither shall gallant ship pass by. For Jehovah is our judge, Jehovah is our lawgiver, Jehovah is our king, He will save us. Now, look at verse 23. Isaiah comes back, he goes forward, and then he comes back to the present. Sometimes he speaks of the Assyrians, and then sometimes he comes back to his own people. Now he comes back to the present tumultuous times. Look at verse 23. Thy tacklings are loosed, they could not strengthen the foot of their mast. They could not spread the sail. He describes Jerusalem and Judah as a boat whose ropes and pulleys are just flying everywhere. And the mast is falling all over the place, and the sail cannot even come out and open up. He's talking about a floundering ship, in other words. A ship that is just floundering there. It can't go anywhere. The perilous times. They could not spread the sail. Then was the prey of a great spoil divided. The lame took the prey. And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. If they'll wait on the Lord and remain stable, they can get through this and they can be forgiven. A very interesting chapter. And then the statement that we want to focus in on this evening in verse 6. There shall be stability in thy times. And somebody's saying, well, how can you speak that way, Isaiah? Sennacherib and his army are just outside our walls, and their commander, Rabshakeh, is taunting us over the wall. How can you say we can work through this? Well, the way it has always been with God's people. You stay faithful to God. You remain faithful. Well, how is that done? Well, let's look at a few things for our admonition today. I believe that we face those same kinds of things today. We have threats of outside enemies. There is gross violence, not only in our country, but in the world. You think about the recent London violence over the past few weeks, where individuals go out and do very damaging things. They hurt people. Some people get killed. There's burning. There's looting. There's rioting. People use bad things in their life or stressful things to go out and just vent their anger and cause more problems. There's all kinds of gross immorality. Anti-biblical politicians making laws that are against God's Word, breaking down the fabric of our nation and the very makeup of the home, destroying that, desecrating that in laws and decisions that are made that break down the home. Laws that are made that kill the unborn. We're facing economic hardships. And like I said, it may get worse before it gets better. And as long as human beings are in control of our nation and making laws, and they are not following God's Word, then they're going to vote and make laws that are anti-biblical. And our nation will continue to be unstable. That's just us. Then multiply that all around the world. And sometimes when we think about brethren, we just think about ourselves. But think about our brethren in other countries. Think about I was thinking about my brethren in London the other day when all of that was going on. And there are brethren that are in places where it's heavily Islamic populations. And some of our Filipino brethren, especially in the southern island of Mindanao, are surrounded by Muslim rebels, and they have to worship very carefully. They have to be very careful in being a Christian. There are those kinds of things going on there. How do we face those unstable and disturbing times? Well, we have a choice. We have a choice. And these things affect us, and they can lead people to anxiety and fear and depression and murmuring and complaining, and some people take their lives and some people revolt. Well, I'm just going to be anti-government, and I'm going to revolt, and I'm going to take up arms, and I'm going to start
you know, shooting back, and I'm going to start terrorizing those that terrorize me. People respond in different kinds of ways, and some people respond with unfaithfulness. I'm just going to quit.
Turn with me to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. We need to understand that there are those who have gone on before us who have had to face difficult situations. It's all in the choices that we make on how to respond. These things will affect us all, but we can choose to remain stable and constant, or we can choose to engage in these other kinds of things. In Matthew chapter 5, in speaking about being persecuted, verse 11, "Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you and say all evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." But look at the last part. "For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." We're not the first ones to have to undergo difficult things. The prophets before us have had to do that. Men and women have had to go through very difficult times. We have to choose how we're going to respond to that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. The great chapter on faith. There can be stability in our times, but it's going to be up to us to put our trust in the Lord. It's going to be up to us to make that stability. And by what I mean by that is, I don't mean without God's help. I mean, we're going to have to make the effort to go back and do what Isaiah said, and we're going to look at verse 6 in more detail. How is that stability accomplished? But we're going to have to make the effort. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves doing these other kinds of things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. Individuals are mentioned there as being faithful to God in difficult times. Look at verse 33. "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens. Women received their dead by a resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated." That wasn't because they were lazy and they didn't get a job and so they couldn't buy clothes. That was because they were on the run. Like Elijah, on the run from Ahab and Jezebel, living out in the desert somewhere, on the run. It could get worse before it gets better. Verse 38, "Of whom the world was not worthy." In God's eyes, these are the worthy ones. These are the exalted ones for being faithful. "Wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and the holes of the earth. And all of these have had witness borne to them, through their faith received not the promise, God having promised some better thing concerning us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect." In other words, they went through all of that. We have the New Testament gospel and salvation through Jesus Christ, and that combined with what they did will make their faith complete. Apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Apart from what Jesus provides in the New Testament gospel. That's what they anticipated. Like Abraham, looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. They kept being faithful during these difficult times. Now, last time I checked, we haven't been living in caves and holes in the earth. But this world may go on, and we may pass from this life. What about our children? What about our grandchildren? They're going to have to be stable. And it's up to us as parents to put that stability into them. It could get very difficult before it gets any better. So we need to be stable. Faithful Christians are undisturbed by these things. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean by that their lives are not touched. Their lives are touched just like anybody else with economic hardships and anti-biblical laws that are made. We're all touched, but we're not affected in the same way. We don't slump into depression, and we don't rebel and revolt, and we don't complain, and we don't become unfaithful and do these other kinds of things. We continue living faithfully. So back now to Isaiah chapter 33. Let's look at the heart of the lesson. What does Isaiah say there is going to take to have stability in your times? Well, the first thing that he says is that stability comes through wisdom and knowledge. And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. That's where your stability is. We plant our feet squarely and firmly on the wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Word of God. We're going to have to go through those difficult times just like anybody else. The terrorism and economic hardships, we're all going to be affected. Our jobs are affected. Our lives are affected. But we weather that storm, unlike other people in the world, because we're going each day to plant our lives on the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2, 6 through 10. So how do we remain stable in unstable times? We plant our feet squarely on the wisdom and knowledge that comes from the Word of God. Proverbs 2, 6. For Jehovah giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Look at that. Preserve the way of his saints. We're going to be in unstable times. We need to be preserved. We need to be helped. How is that going to happen? The Word of God. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom shall enter into thy heart, and knowledge shall be pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall watch over thee. Understanding shall keep thee. That's what's going to keep us straight and sound and firm. Just like that parable that Jesus taught about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. To deliver thee from the way of evil, from the men that speak perverse things. We're going to have to go through some difficult things, but God's wisdom will help us. Who forsake the paths of uprightness. Listen, we live in a country where more and more people are forsaking the paths of uprightness. To walk in ways of darkness. Laws are being made that are the ways of darkness. Who rejoice to do evil. The smirk and the snicker and the smile on people's faces after they break the law and after they kill someone and after they do what is wrong. And delight in the perverseness of evil. Who are crooked in their ways and are wayward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman and other things. We're surrounded by difficult things, and it's the wisdom of God that keeps us and delivers us from these things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul prayed, and we've been studying in the book of Ephesians. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of his glory, and so forth. And back in verse 17, that the Lord may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. We need to be enlightened with God's Word. And we need to have a spirit and attitude of wanting to learn and grow, because we're living in a very dark world. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. The same prayer that Paul had for the Ephesians, he also had for those in the church at Colossae. He does not cease to pray, making requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3 with regard to Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden. And so look at verse 8 then. Take heed, lest there shall be any one that make a spoil of you through his philosophy. You're not going to be taken off by false doctrines and false teachings. You're going to be planted firmly on the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word. The second way in which stability comes is through salvation. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, Isaiah says, there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, the fear of Jehovah. What's going to make us get through these times is each one of us being a faithful child of God. We can't be living in the world and like the world and expect to make it through these times, because we'll end up just doing what the world is doing. We've got to obey the gospel. We've got to become a Christian. We've got to be saved by the blood of Christ. We've got to remain faithful as a Christian, and that is what gives us stability, because we're building our lives on the rock, the Word of God. The wise man built his house upon the rock. We've got to become a Christian. We've got to be saved. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. The principles that are laid down in the New Testament gospel are principles that become an anchor for the soul. You think of a boat, you think of the hurricane that is passing through the northeast and the destruction, and those pictures that show the waves crashing against the shore and the destruction of the wind and the rain and that type of thing. Think of that, and think of our lives as a boat that needs an anchor to hold us down in those storms. What is that? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, speaking of God who does not change. We anchor ourselves in God. He, Malachi 3, 8, I am Jehovah, I change not. He is a constant. He is a rock. And so we put our anchor there and it does not move. Speaking of God, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul. A hope both sure and steadfast, and entering in into that which is within the veil, whether as a forerunner Jesus entered for us heaven, having become a high priest, and so forth. That's where we're tethered, as it were. That's where we are anchored. And the only way we can have an anchor of the soul is to be a Christian, is to be right with God. You think about people in our society that are not saved. And by that I just mean New Testament Christians having obeyed the gospel. How are they living their lives? They're living their lives on the principles of man's word. And they are eaten up with the instability. There's troubles and trials in their life. There's problems in their life. And problems breed more problems. And rather than building their life on the wisdom and knowledge of God's Word, those principles will help us make it through difficult times. There are principles involving money. There are principles involving how to raise our children. There are a lot of different principles from that wisdom and that knowledge that help us get through difficult times, help us remain stable. But when we live like the world, then we're unstable like them. We've got to become a Christian. Obeying the gospel gives us an anchor of the soul. And he says there in chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19, 18 especially, to lay hold of the hope set before us. What is that? Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. What is the hope that is set before us? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. The hope set before us is the hope of heaven, the hope which is laid up for you in the heavens. And how do you get that? You heard of it in the truth of the gospel. That home of heaven is a hope of the soul. But it only comes to those who obey the truth of the gospel. Look at verse 6. That gospel which is coming to you, even as it is also in all the world, bearing fruit and increasing as it doth in you also. Yes, the gospel tells us about the hope of heaven, but that gospel has to bear some fruit in your life. Well, how does it do that? When you obey it, it's got to bear some fruit. Since the day you heard and knew the grace of God and truth, we've got to hear it, believe it, and obey it. And when that fruit is born by becoming a Christian, we have that hope of eternal salvation laid up for us in the heavens. We've got to become a Christian to weather these difficult times. Both husband and wife need to be a faithful Christian. And the parent and the children need to be faithful Christians when they grow up and are old enough to do that. We've got to be in this together. We've got to be saved. through the gospel. And then number three, Isaiah says, it's going to come when we fear the Lord. Go back to Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah says, there will be stability in your times. There will be abundance of salvation. There will be wisdom and knowledge. And then he says, before he moves on there, that there will be the fear of the Lord. You stop and think about that with regard to the Assyrian army that's encamped outside your city. Who are you going to fear? Are you going to fear Rabshakeh and his defiant speech and his haughty, proud, defiant speech? Or are you going to continue to fear the Lord? Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 33, there will be abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of Jehovah is thy treasure. Well, what is the fear of the Lord? That is, we reverence the Almighty God, we respect Him, and as a result of that, we obey His Word. Let's look at a few passages. Turn with me to Job chapter 28 and verse 28. And unto man He said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. What is the fear of the Lord? It is not just respecting God and reverencing God, but because of that, we're going to turn away from the evil around us. The only way we're going to make it through these unstable times is not to engage in the worldliness around us. Turn with me to Psalm 111 in verse 10. Much of the wisdom literature, you notice Job and Psalms and Proverbs up here on the chart, much of the wisdom literature has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord. It is respecting God, reverencing God, which leads us to obey His Word and stay away from evil things around us. The fear of Jehovah, Psalm 111:10, is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Turn with me to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Now look at this. Come on down. How do we weather these unstable times? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but look with me at verse 10. This is the world around us. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Listen to me, young people. We talk about peer pressure. When somebody comes up to you and says, go do this, when sinners entice thee, come off, let's go do this, let's engage in this, let's do this, consent thou not. In other words, say no. We would say, just say no. Don't do that. If they say, come with us, don't do that, verse 11. Stay away from that. How does that happen? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord. We're going to be stable in our lives. We're going to stay away from those things because we're going to do what God tells us to do. We're not going to go off and run with the crowd and run with those around us and engage in those sinful things and be eaten up by our unstable times. Brethren and friends, we close this evening. We can be stable in unstable times. We live in an extremely ungodly nation, and we can be unstable in an ungodly nation. And when you have to go out into a humanistic educational setting, I think about public school, or I think about my children who are going off to college, young Christians, and I was around some young Christians this past week who are college age, and they go off into that humanistic setting that's teaching evolution and humanism and worldly philosophies. You're sitting in that setting one day, you're going to have to weather that. You're going to have to be stable. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to be out on your own. And you're going to have to weather that. How do we do that? With the fear of the Lord, with being a faithful, saved Christian, with wisdom and knowledge from God's Word. We live in a religiously diverse world that is causing all kinds of troubles. We live in a grossly immoral society that's causing all kinds of troubles. How do we weather that? How does a young person weather that? Wisdom and knowledge, being a saved, faithful Christian, fearing the Lord. We can be rooted and grounded. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17 about being rooted and grounded in our faith. Those words talk about stability. A couple of weeks back when we had that violent storm blow through from the north, I was inside the house and seeing those large trees on our property waving back and forth, shaking back and forth. You wonder, how does that tree stay in the ground? Rooted and grounded. Those roots go way deep. And so they're blowing back and forth. Real tall trees blowing way back and forth. What's holding them down? And so Matthew 7, that storm, the wise man that builds his house upon the rock. We can weather those things. We can have stability in these unstable times. But it's going to be the way Isaiah told it. Paul talks about no longer children tossed to and fro. In Ephesians chapter 4, that's done when we follow the truth. There's so much instability because people follow the words of men. But Paul talks about how that we can be full grown, a full grown man, and we can come to know the truth, and we are no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the slide of men. And we have men tricking us today and fooling us today and deceiving us from the top down. But we're not going to follow that. And we can be steadfast. Peter talks about how that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, whom withstand steadfast in your faith. And we can be steadfast when we learn the Word of God in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. We're not going to fall from our own steadfastness, Peter says, but we're going to grow in God's Word. We live in unstable times, and I believe it will get worse. And so we need the foundation. And we close with these points. The lesson is yours. First of all, the obedience of the gospel for a religious person is vital. We might be religious, but we need to obey the gospel. And right after Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Right after that, he talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock. You need to obey the gospel this evening. It's vital in our time to do that. Do it before it's everlasting too late. And then as parents, we need the nurture and admonition of the Lord for our children. It's vital in our times. Ephesians 6:4 is talking about fathers in particular, teaching our children. Listen, there's things going on in our life with work and school and hobbies and other kinds of things, but as parents, we need to be teaching our young people the Word of God that is so vital in our time. That's what's going to help them remain stable. Making time for that as a father is extremely important. Praying for our leaders is vital in our times. Paul talks about how that we are to pray for kings and those in high places that we might lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness. We need to be praying for our leaders. Upcoming elections and other times during the year that we might have leaders that will come back to biblical principles. We need that. And we need the assembly of the saints. It's vital. Can you imagine the country that we're living in, but then we don't take advantage of being here in this building where we can come together and build ourselves up to help us face that world that we live in? And people will purposely absent themselves and then wonder why they're weak. It is vital that we be here. It is vital that we be here. It helps us to remain stable. It helps our children to remain stable. The singing and the praying and the studying of God's Word and being around faithful Christians, it helps us get through the week. That helps us get through the month. That helps us get through the years. We are in difficult times. And so, let us understand that this tumultuous period that Jerusalem was in, Isaiah says, you know what? There can be stability in your times if you will do these things. And for the faithful and the righteous, there was. The unfaithful in Judah's time gave in to sin and wickedness, and they fell. The faithful that waited on the Lord remained. And so the lesson is yours. Whatever you might think of with regard to instability, understand that you, as a spouse, as a parent, as a child, we can make it through this. But we have to build our lives on God's Word. And we encourage you to do that. For the Christians here this evening that are attempting to do that, you're trying to do that, you keep doing that. You wait on the Lord. You trust in the Lord. And that promise will come true. You'll make it through whatever you go through. And when we're dead and gone, and our children are around, and then our grandchildren, they'll be able to do the same thing. They're probably going to live in a world that is even more difficult than ours, I'm afraid. But they will be able to make it through that because you instilled in them these principles that we're talking about this evening. You keep doing what you're doing. And as a child of God, if we need to make some changes, if we need to get back to to put more emphasis on being with our children and teaching our children, if we need to put more emphasis on being here in the assembly, these things are vital to help us make it through life, then let's make those changes. If you need to start by making a change this evening in obeying the gospel, that's the only way you're going to make it through these times. When you and your spouse are on the same page, when you and your parents and your family are on the same page, obedient, both of you, all of you, have that hope, that anchor of the soul, that hope of heaven, because we've obeyed the gospel. And if you need to do that this evening, we would encourage you. We can be stable. While the world around us is in turmoil, we can be stable. We've been given that promise. And I would encourage us all along those lines. And if you're subject to the gospel this evening, and need to be, you need to begin that stability this evening, why won't you come as we stand and sing?